Lord, how often shall a member of the church sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And then Jesus said to him, I do not say up to 7 times, but 77. Other translations have it as 70 times 7. Kind of makes you wonder who Peter was thinking about when he asked this question to Jesus. Who was it that Peter was having trouble forgiving? Could have been that it was someone who lied to him, maybe swindled him out of some money. Could have been that it was someone that betrayed him, broke some loyalty or some trust that he thought that he had with someone else. Could have been someone who physically harmed him, abused him, caused him physical pain. Kind of makes you wonder, who was Peter thinking of when he asked Jesus the question? Kind of makes you wonder who it is that we think of this morning. Is there someone in your life that has caused you pain and heartache? Who is it that we are having trouble forgiving this morning? Maybe for some of you, I don't have to talk very long before immediately someone pops into your head of someone that you have had trouble forgiving in the past. Or maybe it's someone that's causing you heartache right now and you are having trouble forgiving them, even in this very moment. Maybe many of you carry haunting memories of your past, images of people that have caused you heartache. And it doesn't take long before you think of someone that has wronged you, and you're having trouble forgiving them. To where you're even asking the question, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this person? 7? 77? 70 times 7? It's a great question for this morning. I want to take just a moment to talk to you about that number 7. Number 7 in the Scriptures is the number for completion, the number of finishing. How many days did it take God to create the world? 7. In the world of the Bible that we receive today, the people back then thought of the number 7 as a number of completion. That on the 7th day, God rested because God had completed creating the world. To say the number 7 meant complete, finished, nothing left to do. And so what Peter might have been asking Jesus is not so much how many times, Lord, do I have to forgive, but how completely do I have to forgive? Really, do I have to completely forgive, like forget that it all happened? Do I have to bury my emotions? What does that mean, Lord? What does it mean when I have to forgive someone completely? Jesus' answer was very clear. Not only do you have to forgive someone completely, but more than completely. More than you thought you ever could. 70 times 7. So it's very important to ask ourselves the question this morning, how is it that we are to forgive other people? There are a lot of misconceptions, I would think, about what it means to forgive people. If I were to ask us, what does it mean to forgive? Perhaps some of you would say, well, to forgive means to deny our emotions. To deny that there is hurt and pain that is caused inside us. To bury the hatchet completely. To bury our feelings. And to pretend that we weren't really ever hurt. Is that what forgiveness means? Is that what Jesus means when we are to forgive, to deny our emotions, to deny that we're even human and suffer real pain? Maybe some of us are thinking that forgiving means forgetting. That when someone has caused us wrong, what we are really supposed to do is forget that it ever happened. When we forgive someone, we say, well, we have to try to forget that it even happened to begin with. Is that even possible? Is it even possible for us to forget a wrong that has been done to us, like taking a giant eraser to our brain and forgetting that it even happened? Is that what Jesus means? To forget the wrong that's been done to us? Here's a good one. Some of us think that forgiving means actually taking moral high ground with that other person. to say to that person, I forgive you, but to really say, I forgive you. That makes me better than you. That makes me better than you because I can not take vengeance upon you. That makes me the better Christian because I'm not going to strike back. That makes me superior and you inferior. A lot of us think of forgiveness as that way. I'm a bigger man or a bigger woman than you. That makes me better. Is that what Jesus meant by forgiveness? It is a tough question to ask and to answer. And so we have to be real careful because too many times we throw that word forgiveness around where we prescribe to someone, oh, all you have to do is forgive them without really never knowing what that means. Or we try to forgive someone else without fully or completely forgiving them the way Jesus intended. So we have to be careful about what that word forgiveness means and how it does apply. There's a wonderful book written about 20 years ago by a man named David Augsburger who wrote a book called Caring Enough to Forgive. And it's a very brief, very short book that I think is out of print and actually takes the form of a thoughtful, wonderful poem. So this morning I thought I would share it with you. If you want to take your bulletins and find the goldenrod covered colored sheet of paper, there is reproduced for you the poem, Caring Enough to Forgive. It talks about what forgiveness is not, and then offers to you a suggestion as to what forgiveness might be. When forgiveness puts you one up, on top, in a superior place, as the benefactor, the generous one, the giver of freedom and dignity, don't trust it. Don't give it, and don't accept it. It's not forgiveness. It's sweet, saintly revenge. When forgiveness is one way, calling one person to accept the difference, absorb the pain, adjust to injustice, don't rush to it. Don't close the case with it. It's not forgiveness. It's loving submission. When forgiveness denies that there is anger, acts as if it never happened, smiles as though it never hurt, fakes as though it's all forgotten, don't offer it. Don't trust it. Don't depend on it. It's not forgiveness. It's a magical fantasy. When forgiveness ends open relationships, leaves people cautious, twice shy, safely concealed, afraid to risk free, open, spontaneous living. Don't forgive. It's not forgiveness. It's private alienation. It's individual estrangement. When forgiveness distorts feelings by denying that there was hurt, disconnecting from feelings of pain, squelching the emotions that rise, pretending that all is forgiven, forgotten, forgone. Don't trust it. It's a mechanical trick. I see you as a wrongdoer. I feel injured, innocent, exploited, abused. I am pointing the finger of blame. Any movement toward forgiving begins with recognizing that we are in this pain together. Forgiveness is renewed repentance. The real enduring issues of justice, integrity, and the righteousness of right relationships are resolved and restructured into the restored relationships. So we are free to love, live, and risk again. I see you as an evildoer. I feel hurt, resentful, angry, demanding. I am refusing to see you as an equally precious person of worth, value, dignity, in spite of wrongdoing. Forgiveness begins as I see you again with love. In a world of flawed communication, community is possible through understanding others. In a world of painful alienation, community is created by accepting others. In a world of broken trust, community is sustained by forgiveness. The past exists only in memory, consequences, effects. It has power over me only as I continue to give it my power. I can let it go, release it, move freely. I am not my past. The future is not yet. I can fear it, flee it, face it, and embrace it, and be free to live now. This is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is transformation. Forgiveness is a painful, hurtful, difficult journey that you and that other person must take together. It is not one way. It is you and that other person working together, exploring and communicating and walking side by side toward a miracle. A miracle where both of you are transformed and where both of you exchange your feelings genuinely and openly with one another, not burying your emotions or your humanity, saying to that person, "You really did hurt me." And to deny that means to deny my being human. And to say to that person, "I don't feel superior to you or inferior to you. I'm going to try to see you as an equal, despite what you've done to me. Would you please walk with me together so that we can both be transformed, so that I can start to see you with love once again, and so that you can think twice before you ever think of doing that to me again, and so that together our relationship can be transformed and renewed. That is only possible through God and with time." Is it really ever possible to forgive and forget? I don't think so. I think God has given us powerful memories that help us celebrate the past. And I don't think it's ever really possible to completely eliminate a memory from our past. We're not computers. We can't reformat our drive or erase our brains. But maybe our prayer should be that we don't forget it, but that this event is not central to our life anymore. That maybe God can help us take that terrible memory and start moving it to the back of our minds, or start moving it to the side, or start pushing it down a little bit so that it stops being central to our life, so that it stops being central to our relationships, so that we can start to see other people in ways of love and compassion once again. That's the way God intends it. In fact, that's the way God intends it so much that that's the way God treated us. That we who had sins and iniquities against God, God forgave. And God is the only one who can forgive and completely forget, who offers us forgiveness and compassion through Jesus Christ, whose life and death and resurrection offers us a new chance to walk side by side with God on a new journey, a journey toward a miracle, where we become more and more the likeness of Christ. Do you remember earlier in the service when we prayed together the Lord's Prayer? How many times those words cross our lips? Let this morning be a reminder to you that we must forgive others as God has forgiven us. God has given us the model of how to completely forgive over and over again. Let us be challenged then to forgive others in the same way. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.